Netflix has a winner on its hands. Squid Game became the streaming giant's biggest launch ever this week, and the South Korean drama just debuted last month. It's about broke contestants competing for cash in a series of life-and-death kids' games. Let's hear a bit of Squid Game in translation.
You will be playing red light, green light. You are allowed to move forward when it shouts out green light. Stop when it shouts red light. If your movement is detected afterwards, you will be eliminated.
So, why is Squid Game such a gigantic hit? And what is it trying to say about capitalism, particularly the South Korean flavor of capitalism? For more, we have Sung-hwan Shin. He's professor of Korean film and media at the University of Pittsburgh. Professor Shin, welcome.
Great to be with you.
Nice to talk to you. So Squid Game gets dystopian in a hurry. In episode one, suddenly the characters learn that they're in this red light, green light kids game, but being eliminated means getting killed. Let's take a quick listen. So that's, of course, the Korean version of it, Professor. We have seen this game of death formula before in The Hunger Games, in Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. Why do you think so many people are still drawn to this, as hard as it is to watch?
The violence is important, but I think Squid Game is quite unique in many aspects. In other death game stories, characters are usually forced into the games. But in Squid Game, players are given the opportunity to end the game if they want to. And the narrative choice challenges the viewers with some serious questions, like why do people return to the games even when they know that their lives are at stake?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this because I want to play a little bit of tape exactly on this point you're talking about. That is, the players in this game are recruited from the real world outside, and those who survive the first game, they can choose to leave and return to their lives. This is how the game facilitators put it in the show.
When we first went to see each of you, not a single one of you trusted us. But as you all know, we played a game, and as we promised, gave you money when you won. And suddenly, everyone here trusted us. You called and volunteered to participate in this game of your own free will. So this is it. I'll give you one last chance to choose. Will you go back to living your old and depressing lives, getting chased by your creditors, or will you act and seize this last opportunity we're offering here?
Now, most players in the show, they do leave, but here's the thing. Most then return to this crazy game of death. What does this say about the sort of choices these characters really have?
So at the end of the first episode, the players vote to stop the game. The following episode, titled Hell, follows the life of each main character and shows how they eventually decide to return to the games, right?
Wow.
So this show suggests that to so many people, the real world is just a larger prison. So I think this is a serious critic of the capitalist society we are facing now and make us think about so many people who are stuck in the sharp increase of household debt, you know, the widening income inequality and many other, you know, economic and social issues.
Squid Game features a vast ensemble of characters, of prisoners, as you describe them. The protagonist is a divorced dad living with his mother. There's an immigrant worker from Pakistan, a ruined day trader who turns to white-collar crime, a North Korean defector trying to get her parents over the border, on and on. What do you think the show is trying to say through these different windows into desperation and poverty?
The characters are, I think, another important factor for the show's global popularity. In this game, the viewers have to continue to ask what makes survivors different from people who die. This show does not have any powerful figure at the center of the narrative. Instead of that, the all characters are kind of, you know, flawed. And sometimes they survive just because of luck. Other times they survive just because other people died first. So there is no one quality, one aspect that allow us to separate them from people who died. And the fact that they are just ordinary people, they are just like us, that aspect makes this show quite relatable to so many people all around the world.
And as protagonist, he was laid off from an auto factory, right? I mean, that was a real event that people in South Korea know, but people around the world know this reality.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Gi-hun turns out to be a victim of his automobile company's mass layoff. Many Korean viewers may be reminded of the 2009 SsangYong Motors labor strike, which was one of the fiercest and most tragic worker struggles in the recent past. So the memories of these, riot policies, brutal combat-style suppression on workers are still very fresh to many Koreans. And as a direct result of the mass layoffs, and also due to the continuous intimidations by the company and the state, more than 30 workers and family members actually died.
In that event.
Some committed suicide, and while others died of the trauma. That memory is continuously stirred up in TV dramas and movies. That's why many Korean viewers are very much impressed by films like Parasite and the Squid Game.
And can I ask you, what do you make of the children's games in the show? I've read that the director wants to make it easy for viewers around the world to understand what's going on. Do you think that that works to draw us in, kids' games?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, I think children's games make the show very much participatory. As the characters choose buttons, numbers, shapes, partners, the viewers also make their own choices along with the characters. And in so doing, they are also triggered to be, curious about the consequences of their decisions. In many other survival game dramas, the viewers largely remain passive spectators of the protagonist's, spectacular actions, or the passive consumers of unexpected extremes or shock effect. But in Squid Game, the viewers are repeatedly invited to join the decision-making process. Characters are placed at a crossroads, and so are the viewers.
Professor Shin, last question on South Korean media. I mean, South Korean media companies have exploded in global popularity in recent years. Parasite got the Best Picture Oscar. K-pop, K-dramas everywhere. How are these international success stories playing in South Korea, suddenly as a capital of the creative arts industry?
I want to give you one story. I think the director of the show, Hwang Dong-hyuk, tried to produce this show 10 years ago, but he couldn't find any producer who wanted to invest in this show. And so it took him 10 years to find a contract with Netflix. That tells a lot about the change in the media industry in South Korea over the past decade or so. The traditional, mainstream media is still quite limited in South Korea. But many talented artists and filmmakers have found good opportunities in global platforms like Netflix to test their products, to examine their ability to communicate with people all around the world.
That is Sung-hwan Shin, professor of Korean film and media at the University of Pittsburgh. Professor Shin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.